This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. I have a very, very special guest today, Christina Montlacchiani, who's an entrepreneur, international speaker, and an artist. She's also the co-founder of Mind Valley, which I'm such a big fan of. And she brings her female perspective into the company leadership. Welcome, Christina. Welcome to Startup to Success.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
I'm really honored. I mean, I can't tell you how much I admire Mind Valley, first of all. And then we'll jump into the book, The Art of Being Flossom, which I am so excited that somebody's finally talking about just being honest about things in life. So we'll jump into all that fun conversation later. But before we begin, I love starting out with, what's your why? Why are you doing what you're doing today?
It's so interesting. When you asked me that question first before we went on air, I started thinking to myself, you know, I've never actually asked myself that question. And I'm the person who constantly keeps asking questions. But I guess my answer will be maybe a little unexpected. I think you have to do the thing that you love so much that you don't even have to bother to ask why you're doing that. So I guess that's my case. I think I'm just doing the thing that I'm supposed to do, and I'm in the place where I'm supposed to be. So yeah, I don't really know why.
I love that. I've never heard that answer. Now I'm just gonna dive deeper into that a little bit. So obviously everyone tells us, hey, if you find what it is that you love, you'll be happy and you'll succeed.
Yeah.
But what if you like a lot of things? What if you like a few things? What do you do then? What's your suggestion?
I would say do everything. But of course, I know my advice sometimes comes a little bit maybe prematurely to a lot of people, because I know it's easy for me to say do a lot of things, do things that you love and do all the things that you love. But I have also set up my life like this. For a lot of people, life is actually a little bit of a race, sort of a struggle in a way, because I think life doesn't like empty spaces. So we fill them very quickly. And then at some point we realize there is no vacuum at all. So I'm very much in my head, and I believe that entrepreneurship is a creative process, and any kind of creative process requires vacuum, it requires silence, it requires emptiness, otherwise you can't create. So yeah, it's a philosophical answer. A less philosophical answer would be, you know, start doing something which you love and you're good at. It is important to be good at, but it's also important to love, and then eventually the things which are viable will stick, and the things which are less viable will go away. I've tried so many different things. If you look at the background, you'll see like a harp and a piano, and I draw and whatnot.
Love it.
But I want to also mention that I know that nowadays it's not even a popular idea to do the things that you love, because success is important. It's interesting. There's a lot of research that proves that yes, success is important, but contrary to what we think, it is not success that brings you happiness. If you are happy in your daily life, if you are at peace with where you are, you're much more likely to achieve success. So I think it is important to love what you do, despite whatever you may be hearing right now.
That's great advice. Women, so mothers, as we become mothers, I feel like entrepreneurship is the right thing for most mothers. I find myself encouraging everyone I come across to become an entrepreneur who's a mother. And sometimes people look at me and they're like, entrepreneurship is so difficult. Why would you recommend a mother to become an entrepreneur? And my answer is flexibility. You get to achieve the impossible, but also have that flexibility with your time and be able to prioritize your kids and move things around, work when you want to work. What's your thought on that?
Well, I used to say the same. My kids are a little more grown up now, but I remember, so when I delivered my first kid, I was still in the employment, and I took a year off to take care of my kid, because I'm from Europe. We're allowed to take a year and even more. when my second kid was born, I had already started being more actively involved in my own business. And I remember she was born on Thursday and I was waiting on Saturday, when is Monday starting, because I'm so excited to go back to work. And of course, I could have a nursery room in my office, just because I chose to have my child around in the office so that I could nurse her until she was big enough. So I had my nanny with me. I had my nursery room. I remember my first speech. I flew to US and spoke on a huge stage, actually. And I had my daughter with me. So I remember my icebreaker on stage was that, guys, sorry, I didn't sleep, because my baby, she was 4 months old. She didn't let me sleep. So definitely it does give you flexibility. Absolutely. And I remember I used to say the same. The best job for a mother is to be an entrepreneur, because it gives you flexibility. It gives you freedom, and it gives you the possibility to prioritize your children or involve your children in your life, which I think is a beautiful thing for many other reasons, not just your own benefit, but for the children to know what their parents are doing firsthand in the like right there in that place is something super valuable. But that said, it only works if you are truly an entrepreneur and you are not a slave of your own business. And a lot of starting entrepreneurs, unfortunately, are not so much entrepreneurs as they are employees, not very well-paid employees and overworked employees who actually don't even pay for overtime in their own businesses. Of course, in that case, this is not a good choice for a mother. So it has to be business which is set up for your freedom, for sure, and it is possible. And again, to finish the thought, I think it is very important to remember that whatever you believe in is going to be true for you. That's how our brain works. There is this region in our brain, it's actually not a region so much, called reticular activating system, which essentially makes you notice the things which are important to you, because there is so much stimulus around us. So if we paid attention to everything, we'd be crazy. So there is this region in the brain which allows us to pay attention to the things which are important to us. So what it means in practice is that you notice what you focus on, or your goal defines your perception. Mm-hmm. So if you believe that entrepreneurship is slavery, that is going to be your reality. That's going to be your reality, and that reality is going to feed your belief system, and your belief system is going to create, you're going to act and behave and think in accordance to your belief system. If you believe that entrepreneurship is freedom and flexibility, then your brain is going to be hard at work noticing all the examples of entrepreneurship being freedom and flexibility. So you have to choose what you want to believe. That's important.
Speaking of belief, how important do you think belief is in entrepreneurship?
It is in anything, not just entrepreneurship, in life. That's a defining thing. We are human beings. We do have a very unique ability of abstract thinking, and it's interesting, but the world, the way we see it, our world, the world which we inhabit, is actually creation at some point, because I'm sitting in a living room, you are sitting also in some beautiful room. We might have a plant or two, like I have a garden just outside the window, but we live in the world created by human hands and by human mind, first of all, by our imagination, and that is all based in the beliefs. If you believe in aging, well, I do believe in aging, aging happens, but if you believe that age brings sickness, let's say, that's what is going to manifest. Let me give you a little more practical example. We do it subconsciously, but we do it almost consciously as well. If you believe that success requires sweat, blood, and tears and sacrifice, you're going to do that for the sake of success. If you happen to achieve success without sweat, blood, and tears and sacrifice, I'm not saying saying that you achieve it without work, probably some stress. But if you believe that success requires sacrifice and it comes easy, mm-hmm. you're not going to believe in it. That's why we have imposter syndrome. That's why we start sabotaging our own success, not believing in it, thinking it's not going to be sustainable. So we create extra pressure so that we feel that we are deserving of success. and that creates burnout. It's like when you go to the gym, you know that you have exercised well if your muscles are hurting, burning. So if your muscles are not burning, next time you're going to add extra weight, create resistance. So the same with success. If you believe that it requires, dead brain cells and sleepless nights and sacrifice and lack of health and lack of relationships, you're going to do that, because otherwise you will never believe in your success or in you, for that matter.
I remember a time in my life when I left New York Times and I started my own agency. And I remember sitting at my desk while I was working for New York Times and really believing that I can start an agency and that I can have big clients like the ones I've had at New York Times. And when I first started, I told my employer, I said, I'm leaving and this is what I'm going to do. And my employer at the time, New York Times, said, we want to make you a vendor. Mm-hmm. And I remember that was part of my belief system, that I was going to start an agency and I was going to have certain type of clientele. And New York Times being my first client in reality, I mean, they made me a vendor and so they became my first client, gave me the opportunity to open up doors and start working with the Fortune 500 companies. And I remember telling this belief to a friend who almost sort of killed my dream, but I blocked it and I said, you know, you don't know anything about it. I remember her saying, well, you need to crawl before you run. New York Times is running. And I said, well, I want to run. And so I do believe that belief is the number one thing. If you don't have the right belief system, don't bother with anything. But most importantly, don't bother with entrepreneurship, because it is the hardest thing ever we can do. And just being an entrepreneur is challenging. But I want to talk a little bit about Mindvalley. Was there anything, and I wish I had more time to really dive in and understand more about how you started it and you grew. But I want to learn that one thing that you figured out while you started Mindvalley that you think it took the company to the next level. Was there any one or two things that you figured out?
You know, it's a little bit unfair question, honestly. I'm sorry for saying this, because Mindvalley has been around for a long time and we've evolved a lot. So we started one way, and of course we've changed so much over the years. We've grown a lot, but we've also evolved a lot, which means that the essence of the company has changed. So it's possible to put a finger on one lesson, because it would be just too simplistic. So I would say that there are a lot of big lessons, but one thing, maybe the first thing that comes to mind, and probably that's the most important, that success is a teamwork. And I know it sounds like a cliche, but you're never alone. And a lot of the times we're afraid to go into entrepreneurship because we think, you know, it's not harder than employment. Entrepreneurship is not harder. It's just a little more transparent and a little more honest. We sometimes shun entrepreneurship because we think it's risky, but employment is risky. Those who are working in travel industry know that a very freak accident of a pandemic actually cost a lot of jobs. So employment is just as risky. You know, retirement is not any more secure than investment. So the only difference is that entrepreneurship, being responsible for your own well-being, any kind of investments, this is just very transparent. You just understand that it's risk. The risk is yours. And you are aware. I think it's just more honest. The risk is in other ways of earning money too. It's just that we are trying to close our eyes and pretend that it is not there. So I think if you remember that you're not alone on this journey, no matter, even if you're a solo entrepreneur, you are going to have a team. You're going to have, if not a team, then at least contractors, somebody who you work with. It is a team job. You're not alone. I remember when I parted ways with my business partner, not in Mindvalley, in a parallel business, I was so terrified. I thought, I can't do it alone. It's so scary. And what I found out, that I have even better support in my team than in the person who I thought should be my biggest support. Because we had a different relationship. It's actually much easier to find support in people who come and work for you, who share your mission, than sometimes in people whom we take for granted.
Wow, that's great advice. And I do think having a great team is very important. That's the first thing that entrepreneurs, when they can afford it, is look into hiring a good team that believes in their mission and their vision.
You know, that's another important, super important lesson. There is no such thing as startup mode.
Yeah.
I know we talk about it, but this is not true. It's a myth, and it's you lying to yourself. You will go with your business the way you set it up. If you're setting it up for you to be the slave of it, you will stay the slave of it forever. Even if your team is 100 people, you will find ways to be a slave of your business. If your team is 1,000 people, you will still... I've seen entrepreneurs with huge, massive, successful, stable businesses who are still slaving for them. That's their choice. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's bad. If that's where they get their kicks, then good. But if you suffer from that, then from the very start, you have to set it up differently. That's the thing. Business is of course risky. And of course, it's good if you have some level of financial savings that you can actually risk. I'm starting a farm, and I hired my first animal keeper, and he started this August, 1st of August. And I know it's a risk. I hope this farm is going to bring money, but I'm willing to invest into his salary. I'm not going to move out of the city and live on the farm to look after my sheep.
Smart.
And I know it's a funny example, but this hiring people is the only place where you can buy money. Oh, buy time.
Buy time. And I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs forget, that time is more valuable than the money that you think you're saving by trying to do it all and wearing five different hats. And, you know, it's just, it's very challenging. But I remember last summer I took, I joined this SBA program, leadership program, emerging leadership program that Los Angeles cohort had selected 20 top entrepreneurs in LA. And I remember sitting there amongst these CEOs who were running multi-million dollar companies, and we're talking about how the business was running them, not the other way around. And that's precisely what you just mentioned, that there are people that have 1,000 employees, but they're still acting like an employee. And if anything, the business is running them. And it was such an amazing program, teaching us how to change, shift our belief. And it was literally just a belief system, just mental exercises to start pulling ourselves out of every single circle and look at everything from the outside. It was just amazing. And it was life-changing for me too, because I didn't realize that to a certain extent, I was letting my marketing agency run me to a certain extent. And when I got through the training program, it was just a whole shift where now I started looking at it. How do I automate things? How do I bring in people and have them run it without me being involved in it? So that's great advice. Thank you so much. And speaking of, you know, people trying to figure out how to get themselves out of the business, so the business starts running like this well-oiled machine, what advice do you have for them? Are there any things that they could do to start the movement?
So I would say give up perfectionism. That's number one. You see, I'm a very ambitious person. I was a straight A student all my life. I know what it means to do things perfectly. And trust me, whatever I take, I will figure out how to make it perfectly. It will take me some time. And that's the problem with us. We are perfectionists. So at some point I actually learned it from Branson partially. I mean, he mostly confirmed my hunch that I only do in my business the things that only I can do and no one else. I refuse to do things that someone else can do. For example, I used to clean apartment before, I mean, in Soviet days, I can clean apartment better than any professional cleaner. Would I ever do that?
No.
Would I do that? No. It is ridiculous. It is funny. And I know it is apartment, but in business, the same. I only agree to do things that only I can do and no one else, absolutely no one else in my business can do that. Wow. Only these things. If I apply my brain to things, I can do a lot of things better than my employees. Right. But I'm choosing not to do that. That's why I'm saying you have to give up perfectionism. It's never going to be perfect. It's not about being perfect. It's about moving ahead with your vision. And doing it perfectly sometimes. And you know, that's what, maybe this mental exercise will help, because sometimes we stop when we are at the point of breaking. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I want to ask you, and I know it will sound absolutely gruesome, but if you were to drop dead today, would your business continue? That's the thing. Most of the time, especially if there's value, it would.
Right.
It would. Life is not going to end, you know? Nothing is going to change. So you have to stop it. Because it may happen, you know? And this is an incredibly powerful mental exercise. You know, if you drop dead today, or okay, let's be less dramatic. If you end up in hospital for a long time, life is going to go on. With kids, I learned when the parent is withdrawn, sometimes kids have the growth spurts because sometimes they need it. And I'm not saying abandon your business, of course not. But give up perfectionism. And if you can't afford taking a sabbatical because you're stuck and in a dead end and because you need some space for creation, for creativity, for thinking bigger, for dreaming bigger, for changing your belief system. If you can't afford taking a sabbatical for even 2 weeks, you're a slave of your business.
Yep. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.